In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why is their eye evil? Why are they envious? Why do they reject the landowner's love? Because he is gracious. It's not a failure of them to understand grace. They get it. Everyone is made equal regardless of the work done. They get that. They just hate it. They worked hard and they want to be rewarded accordingly. So if those hired last received a denarius by grace, then they also should receive two denarii, one for their hard work and one because of his grace. And yet they also receive only one. So they hate him because he shows them no favoritism. They hate him because he refuses to take into account what they have done. So why are so many lost to eternal condemnation? First off, we can't blame God in any way. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist declared of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus told Nicodemus, and he is the atoning sacrifice not only for our sins, that is, the sins of believers, but the sins of the whole world, St. Paul writes. The whole world is everyone. Christ has made a full and sufficient payment for all people who have ever lived, regardless of who they are or what they have done or where they live or where they come from. Christ has paid for each and every single last sin of those great, awful people that scatter throughout history, and also of those good people that dot history's pages. Christ has made a full payment. So no one can say that Christ has not done enough for them. Neither can we say that God really doesn't want them in heaven. For Paul says God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All means all. It's inclusive. No one is left out. God desires the salvation of all. St. Peter says it this way: he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Again, it's inclusive. God wants all people to live in his heaven forever. So don't try to search and find some hidden will of God. God means what he says, and his will is revealed in that word. Stick to the word and you stick to the will of God. Besides, if these passages don't mean what they say, then what other passages of Scripture don't mean what they say? And pretty soon, our certainty of salvation is lost entirely. No, God means what he says, and he wants all people to enter heaven. And he made sure all people could enter heaven by paying for every single last sin. So the blame for those who are condemned can never be laid at God's feet, as if God has somehow failed in some way. So why are some lost to eternal condemnation? Well, it's because God is gracious, and they hate the grace of God. Yes, they hate God's grace. It's not simply that they have a different viewpoint of how to get to heaven. They don't like God's viewpoint of heaven. They hate that God would die for Hitler and Osama bin Laden and also for them, because in their mind they're not in the same boat. They hate that God would group them all together with mass murderers and rapists and child molesters and abusive husbands and deadbeat dads. Fine, if Christ needed to die for them and to shed his blood for them, good. But they really don't see that blood, the full payment of Christ. They really don't see that they are in such great need of a death such as that. They don't need God to labor in the depths of hell. They don't need God to do as much as he did for them, because they're just a little bit better. It's not that they fail to understand grace. They get it. Everyone is made equal, regardless of who you are or what you have done. Everyone is equal. They get it. They've heard it. They just don't want any part of it. So they are sent out of the vineyard, Jesus says. They do not stay with the landowner and drink the fruit of the vine. They do not enjoy the blessings of God for all eternity, but they are sent away. They want to be judged based on who they are and what they have done. And so God will judge them based on who they are and what they have done. And no one is perfect. So why would someone who is imperfect go to a perfect place? It troubles me when I hear people say, well, they don't go to church, but they're still a good husband or a good wife. So what? Good for this life, sure. We certainly are happy that not everyone is out there trying to do harm to his neighbor, but as far as salvation is concerned, so what? It doesn't matter in the least. Being good will not help you. But that's not fair, you say. And now you understand this parable properly. Grace is not fair. It's a gift. You are saved by grace and by grace alone. If works were even a small part, if you were even just a little bit better than someone else, then you would not be saved by grace, but by your own work. So will you too now despise the grace of God as those who were hired first? Many do. They want no part of this. They want God to take into account who they are and what they have done. And they certainly cannot accept a God who will punish those good, hard-working people. And yet here we are confessing that we are miserable sinners, as we did at the beginning of the service. That there is nothing in us that God should regard as good, except what he has given to us. The same fallen flesh that leads many to horrific crimes also dwells in our hearts as well. We are capable of great evil. Just ask our beloved spouse how easily we can hurt them, how deeply we can hurt them. We are not Christian because we are somehow better or because somehow we get it right. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. By grace we confess this. By grace we see ourselves as the ones who are hired last, as completely dependent on the mercy and goodness of the landowner. Whether we're lifelong Christians or new to the faith, it doesn't matter. Whether we abound in good works or have only but a few, we are completely dependent on the goodness of our God. We did not choose him, but he chose us. He called us to work in the vineyard. We did not come to him. He came and searched for us. And by grace, he now gives us a reward that we have not earned or deserved. Undeserving, worthless sinners like you and me are not made equal to the good, hardworking people. But we are made equal to the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has borne the burden of the day and the heat of the sun. He is the only one who has done it all perfectly and kept those commandments fully and completely. He is the only one who deserves the crown of life. And yet here we are receiving that crown of life by grace and by grace alone. We are made equal to the very Son of God and receive the gifts that only he should get. Whether we're great theologians or tiny little infants, whether we have many good works or have but a few, we all are clothed in Christ's own righteousness. We all receive that denarius, the forgiveness of sins. We all have the hope, the certain and sure hope of eternal life, for it is by grace and by grace alone. No one comes before, no one comes after. No one is greater, no one is less. All are equal by grace, including the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Apostles. We may differ according to the works that we do. Some may surpass others in the works that they do. But as far as salvation is concerned, no one comes before or no one comes after, because our works do not gain us heaven. It depends solely on the work of Christ. And the work of Christ is given to you in full. Why to you? Because God is gracious. By grace you are saved, through faith. It's a gift of God. But continue to watch yourself closely, lest you begin to despise this grace of God and end up like those who were hired first. The scripture is filled with examples of people who at one time did believe but lost their faith. King Saul, Judas. If it could happen to them, it could also happen to us if we grow apathetic to the word of God, apathetic to his grace. So with many words, God warns us to hold fast to his grace. Be faithful unto the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life, Jesus says. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many walk on it, Jesus warns. Or as St. Paul says, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. These words do not detract from the grace of God, but they urge us to hold fast to that grace, to remember why we are Christian, why we gather together here, why we have the sure hope of heaven, by grace and by grace alone. For we are too weak of our own nature, of our own self. We are too weak, and our sinful flesh is too strong. We are too weak, and the devil is too vicious in his attacks. We would quickly fall were it not for the grace of God. For Satan is quick to put people and events into your life that make you pat yourself on the back to say, I'm better than they are. This is why God loves me. Repent. Live in the grace of God. It is undeserved every time. It is a gift every day. Many don't want it. They want God to take into account who they are, what they have done. But by grace, you treasure the grace of God. And so you will not be cast out of the vineyard, but you will remain in the holy church, and you will receive the fruit of the vine as you continue to celebrate the grace of God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.